Here we go, the body. And sentence 12, the human body is to be, well, church is to be like the human body. Verse 12, the body is the unit. Though it's made of many parts, and though it's all its parts are many, they form one body. We are all different parts of the one body, all making different contributions to the smooth running of our body, but all part of the one body. Now, Paul runs this metaphor of the body, and he runs this up, and he says, the body's a unit. It's made of many parts. Though all its parts are many, they all form one body, and I expect it to say, so it is with the church. That's what I'm expecting him to say here. That's how I'm expecting him to finish sentence 12. So it is with the church. But it's stunning that look what he says. He doesn't say, so it is with the church. He says, so it is with Christ. And that lifts the whole argument significantly, because we're not talking about people. We're talking about Christ. For in you becoming a Jesus is Lord person, as the Spirit of God works in your heart, as you're baptized by the Spirit, you become a Jesus is Lord person, you become part of Jesus' body. Remember Paul on the road to Damascus? He's there on the road to Damascus and he meets the risen Jesus. And the risen Lord Jesus says to the Apostle Paul, 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 why do you persecute me? Paul wasn't persecuting Jesus. Jesus was up at the right hand of the Father in heaven. No, Paul was persecuting Jesus because he was persecuting the church of Jesus. He was persecuting Jesus' body. So if you're a Christian, if you've been baptized by the Spirit, if you've been given the one Spirit to drink, if you're a Jesus is Lord person, then you are automatically a member of Jesus' body. You're a part of Jesus' body. That has enormous implications for how we view ourselves, for how you see yourself as a Jesus is Lord person, as a Spirit-baptized person. We live in the city, church on every corner. And there's, in our city, a very consumer attitude to church. Pop in, pop out of churches as if it's a light and easy thing. One of you was telling me about how at the church you were at, you helped improve the music and numbers doubled. Weeks took numbers to double. But it was easy come, easy go, that people weren't making a decision really to join a body of Christ. They were coming because the music was good. The concert was good. And so we had this culture of slip in, slip out of church. No sense of loyalty. It's, at the moment, I drink Diet Coke. It's my drink of choice. Got Tara here representing Coca-Cola, and it's lovely to see you here, Tara. And so I want to say, I drink Diet Coke, and I don't just say that because you're here to make you feel special, Tara, but, and in fact, I know this will disappoint Tara, but, if another drink comes along that I prefer, I will switch like that. Tara says, impossible. I have no loyalty to Coca-Cola or Amatil. I happen to drink Diet Coke. I prefer it to Pepsi. And people view church like I view Diet Coke. But that's not how Paul paints it here. For if we were really to grasp Paul's metaphor in our attitude to this body of Christ, then church, you, when I say church, I'm not talking about this building, I'm talking about us as people. And what is my attitude to us as people, to what is your attitude to us as one another? Well, you are to be as important to me as my eye is to my ear. That's what he's saying here, isn't it? Isn't that what he's saying? Look, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 12. The body's not made up of one part but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. We're different members of the body. We're part of the body of Christ. We're not to think of ourselves just as attenders. I don't think it's just that I happen to go to this church at the moment. No. We are members of the body of Christ that meets here. That I am a member of the body of Christ should define my existence. And that I happen to be a member of the body of Christ that meets here. That's got to affect all areas of my life. It's not just something that happens on Sunday night for 90 minutes, 2 hours, 3 hours. I've been thinking about this. People in other churches, I was talking to somebody about this today, people in other churches get so emotional and worked up about decisions their churches are making. Churches deciding to move a pot plant from one side of the stage to the other, and they have a big church council meeting and fight it out and debate it out, and it's a big decision. Or some policy decision, some structural decision, some direction decision, and people get really worked up. We're employing somebody to do this. We want somebody to be a music director. We're going to put them on staff. We're going to make a change. And people get really, really... And you know that, don't you? Those of you who've been part of other churches? People get worked up about these issues. Why do they get worked up about these issues? Why aren't they distant from them? Why aren't they over there, out there kind of issues? Why do they get so worked up about the pot plant at church? They don't get worked up about the pot plant at work. The reason is because it's my body, our body. I'm part of the body. I own this. We own it. See what I'm saying? We're involved. It affects me. I'm close to it. There's St. Luke's Miranda. There's a church down south. And I was talking to Tali about this. And the body of Christ at Miranda, the saints at Miranda, they've lived there for years. They've loved each other. They've sweated. They care for each other. And rubbed up against. They've grown up together. And every decision has to be negotiated carefully. Because we're all part of the body. Now, here's a pastoral word for us. We've been here for 5 years. We haven't been here for 5 years, but we've existed as a fellowship for 5 years. Specific point of application. We're a young church. Culture hasn't been established. We don't really know what it is to live as part of a body. And we've got a chance to define our culture. We've got a chance to define our attitude to each other. And I want to say that we should not have the attitude of, I'm an attender. We should have the attitude of, I am a member of the body of Christ that is here. That's who we're to be. That's how Paul would have us think. And so I actually want us to say, get involved emotionally. I want us to have stronger debates about where the pot plants go. Think. Diversity. Two groups of people that Paul addresses specifically. A group that's feeling on the outer, then a group that's feeling on the inner. 14. The body's not made of one part but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. I don't feel needed here because I can't contribute by doing the hand thing. I can only contribute by doing the foot thing. So I'm not needed, I feel useless, and I've actually heard that sentiment said around our fellowship. Maybe you've heard yourself say it. The quote is, I look at Christians in the media, I'm see things happening and I think, well, all the bases seem to be covered. There's nothing for me to do. And what does Paul say? Paul says, when you look at yourself and you look at the others and you conclude that you've got nothing to contribute, that you're useless, your conclusion is wrong. That's really what he's saying. That's a wrong conclusion. He said, I can understand you feeling like that, but it's actually factually wrong. That's not the reality. See, let's work through it. 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. 17, picking up the logic, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? All sorts of gifts are needed. We don't just need hand gifts. We don't just need eye gifts. All sorts of gifts are needed. But in fact, God has arranged all the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If we're all one part, where would the body be? In God's sovereign choice, he has given us, who members of his body, different gifts to contribute to the building of his body. All of us are needed. No place to feel unneeded. Comment from one of your emails. Somebody's written, a lot of the time we're happy just to turn up to see our friends and go home again. I think we need to be encouraged to see running the church is not purely a job for those paid to do it. Things like the trivia night being organised by members of the congregation is a good example of this and shows we can all be involved if we want to be. It makes it feel more like a club and less like a corporation. And she's saying in her email there that it would be good if we felt more like a club and less like a corporation. And I want to say, yes, but let's go one step further. We don't want to feel like a club. We don't want to feel like a corporation, but we don't even want to feel like a club. We want to be a body. That's what we're to be. These days, as we've grown, it does feel more corporate, which in some ways is necessary, but it can mean people sit back and don't get involved. I remember when I started coming 3 years ago, it felt more like everyone had to pitch in and help. Because it was smaller, we had to rely on each other more. I think we've lost some of that. Seems like all the practical jobs are covered, especially not having to set up the hall each week. And then we think back 12 months ago, and Matt's smiling because he was one of the people who set up the hall each week. And we had the roster of setting up chairs down at the school hall. We had the roster of picking up the PA gear, and that's when I realised that people, not everyone has the gift of reliably picking up PA gear. We had the roster of setting up the piano, of packing up the piano, of driving things back to the storeroom, and all sorts of tasks that we did. Now, those were the gifts that were needed to make the place tick 12 months ago. Now, we don't need set-up chair gifts now. But tomorrow's bank holiday and Ben's spending the day thinking about the money, and then he's going to meet Rob, and Rob and Ben are going to go and have a meeting with the antique shop next door to discuss whether or not they'll renew the lease with the antique shop and have a conference with them, and then they're going to look at the money to see whether we can grow by another staff member next year. And wow, hang on, we didn't have to have 12 months ago antique shop negotiating people. And different gifts are being used to grow, serve the body in that just kind of logistic administrative way. When we took over this building, one of the reasons that I thought it was good to take over this building, and Matt's smile means that he agrees, I think, is that we were exhausted putting out chairs. And I wanted us not to have to do that. But some of us who were contributing before, and I'm not pointing at you, Matt, on this certainly, but some of us who were contributing before to the growth of Christ's body have just stopped. We were on the chair roster and now we're on the no roster. And some of us who've joined since then, we just haven't even started. And yes, some of the bases are covered, but there's so much more that could be done. I'll just throw one thing out as an idea. I crave a men's ministry in this church, a substantial men's ministry in this church. I long for a ministry where men are learning to be better husbands and better potential husbands. But I haven't got the energy to start it. Evan's done a bit earlier in the year. But I long for that. And all the bases aren't covered. There's a very significant base that isn't covered. Let me just hold up Jeff and Liz and the work they've done. Jeff, as he stands up here and promotes the cross-reference, well, he's been at church and thought, well, it'd be good if we could grow in our understanding of some significant topics and grow together. And so Jeff thinks he'll start the cross-reference group where people can read a book and think together. And it wasn't something I suggested. He just wrote me an email and said, what do you think of this? Can we do this? Should we do this? I'll make it happen. And I didn't have the energy to make it happen. He just saw a base that needed to be covered, and that's great. One of the emails I got this week was, could our church contribute to the poor? How could our church contribute to the poor? And again, that's a base that I'd like to happen, but I haven't had the energy to make happen. And the person who sent that email, a lot of emails through my inbox this week, the person who sent that email said, what do you think of that? And I want to say, yes. What is Dominic's gift in this ministry? Permission giver. If the Spirit is laying it on your heart that that would be a good thing to do, then go for it. I mean, why don't we just do a case study on helping the poor for a minute? You could do the case study on coordinating the men's ministry. You could do it on coordinating the social coordinator. There's work to be done there. And I give permission for it. We're not waiting for somebody to be on the chair roster anymore, but there's lots of bases that aren't covered. But back to the poor. I think we are inadequate as a church in that area. But I haven't had the energy to do it. But that's okay. I don't have to do everything. I'm not Superman. And that's not the way a body works. And I've made a few suggestions. I've made a few nudges in the past and nothing much has happened. But someone said, can we do it? And the answer is yes. Now, point C. If up until now the argument's been, I don't feel needed, I don't belong, I can't see a way I can contribute to the body, the tables are turned now. This is not a feeling that you have yourself. This is something that somebody else has put on you, or that you have put on somebody else. 12:21. It's not that I don't feel needed here, it's that somebody says to you, you are not needed. 12:21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And again, Paul is personifying the body parts. Now, I think the eye is at kind of the centre of the body. The hand is at the extremities. I mean, when we had the image before, it was between hand and foot, and they're both at the extremities. If you like, they were two kind of equal body parts. But here in this image, you've got the head is on the inside. He's the insider. And the eye is the insider, and the feet, hand, they're the extremities, the outer. And I think what Paul is getting at is that the apparently superior cannot say to the apparently inferior, we can get along without you. And Paul is saying that the apparently weaker are actually more needed. See, 22, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Paul would probably have in mind the internal organs, indispensable. So you can get along without both legs, but you can't get along without both lungs. I think that's his point there. Apparent weakness has no relationship to the real value, the real necessity to the body. And the parts, 23, that we think less honourable, we treat with special honour. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. I think he's actually saying the sexual organs are less seemly, the weaker, indispensable, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. God has combined the members of the body and given greater honour to the parts that lack it. So there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. It seems that the in crowd in Corinth has been saying to the out crowd in Corinth, remember I said there were divisions in that church? The in crowd's been saying to the out crowd, I don't need you. And there's very few things that hurt more than I don't need you. We can get along without you. And probably, looking at the situation in Corinth, it's the rich saying to the poor, we don't need you. Perhaps it's the tongue speakers. In fact, almost certainly here in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, it's the tongue speakers saying to the non-tongue speakers, we're the super spiritual. We don't need you. Does this happen in our church? I mean, is this something that we can say is true of us? Do we have divisions like that where the in say to the out, I don't need you? Do rich people make poor people feel less wanted, unwanted? Well, last Sunday night a group of us went out for dinner after church, and the poor man almost got left behind. One of the blokes who'd walked off the street. And so, yeah, I think it's something we do need to watch. That we shouldn't, as rich people, allow poor people to feel left out. But what even if we class our, and I think most people here would probably class themselves as somebody who doesn't actually have to go begging, and in one level we are all on similar incomes, but on another level some of us do have to watch our finances much more carefully than others. And we do need to be careful that people on less incomes can be part of social activities in our church, can be part of the fellowship in our church, even though they are on lesser income. Yeah, we need to watch it. I don't think the guns are pointed at us like Paul is pointing them at the Corinthians, but we just hear the warning. I don't think in our church it's the gift of tongues that is elevated to such a point where people who speak in tongues are looking down at people who do not speak in tongues. In fact, in our church, if anything, it's the reverse. In that, and this is a worry, the person who speaks in tongues privately at home, which is certainly permissible, might feel on the outer. And if anything I have said in the last few weeks makes you, if that's you, feel like that, then I certainly don't want you to feel like that. And let me underline that. We must not elevate any group of people with any particular gift as the essential inner people. I mean, in some churches, it's tongue speaking that makes you the inner, the spiritual. In other churches, it's you're a Bible study group leader. You're a preacher. You're on the preaching roster. You're on the service leading roster. You're on the parish council. You're a warden. That makes you the spiritual. We need all the gifts operating. Everyone is needed for our body to function, for the common good. If we were all Bible study group leaders, if we were all song leaders, if we were all preachers, we would be one monstrous eye. And we're not to be like that. How do you know which gift God gave you if it's not very obvious? Now, I want to suggest to us that the way to start working out, you want to say, and this really brings me on to my conclusion. What I want us to say is not do the introspect, do the look at myself to see what I can do, see what I'm good at, but rather look at the fellowship, look at the body of Christ, look around you and say, here is what needs to be done. So you may not think that your particular way of serving, I mean, I doubt that anybody has thought of this, but one of the things that needs to be done as part of growing our fellowship is the tea towels need to be washed. Now, who's got the gift of tea towel washing? Now, why did I raise that? That's just such a bizarre idea to raise at this point. But it came up in our staff meeting this week, and again, I may not quote them accurately, but I think it's basically Liz, Belle and Sarah who've washed the tea towels all year. And now there's no reason why Liz, Belle and Sarah should be the only people who wash tea towels. But there's just another thing that they have done. Because it's another thing that nobody else has seen, that there's a base that needs to be covered. And so what we want is to be all saying, not what am I good at, but how can I serve Christ's body? So in conclusion, I want to say we need to have a Copernican revolution about how we view church. My identification point is that I am a member of Christ's body, not I am an attender at this church. As a member of Christ's body, I am to show the Spirit, to manifest the Spirit for the common good. It's not an optional extra. It's part of who I am. Now, I'm not actually saying, therefore, go do job. I mean, I could say, it might be that tonight, 15 people will go to Belinda and say, can you write me down and I'll be on the tea towel roster for the next 15. And I mean, that'd be lovely and Belinda would think that was fabulous and all that kind of thing. But that's not the point. It's to say in my heart, how can I serve the others who are the members of Christ's body here? And yeah, tea towels will sort themselves out as together we say we want to be servants of each other. But tea towels isn't the bottom line application. Loving each other, serving each other, working to grow the body of Christ. Our attitude as we come to church should not be that I come to consume, I come to attend, but I come to give. But it's not even that I come. It's that I am. And all week, I'm looking for opportunities to serve the body of Christ that we are part of.